Just as things were getting back to some kind of normal, Austria becomes the first Western European nation to reimpose a nationwide COVID-19 lockdown. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Officials in Austria are bracing for backlash today as fresh lockdown restrictions take effect and apply to everyone. They're an extension of last week's limits, which only pertain to unvaccinated people. But as case counts continue to soar, the government has opted for even tougher rules, as the BBC's Bethany Bell reports.
Once again, Austrians have been told to stay at home, except for essential reasons such as work, shopping for food and exercise. The lockdown will last for just under 3 weeks. It comes after record numbers of new COVID infections in recent days. The Chancellor, Alexander Schallenberg, said COVID vaccinations will become mandatory as of February. The move is controversial. Thousands of people took to the streets this weekend in protest at the plans for compulsory jabs. Around two-thirds of Austrians are fully vaccinated, one of the lowest rates in Western Europe.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell reporting from Vienna there. Well, it's not just Austria that officials are concerned about. The World Health Organization's director for Europe said 500,000 more people might die before the winter is over unless regional restrictions are tightened. But not everyone is on board with that idea. Tens of thousands of people participated in anti-lockdown protests in several European cities this weekend. The desire to protect individual freedoms continues to collide with new public safety rules, sometimes violently, as the BBC's Anna Holligan reports.
Anger and frustration boiled over on the streets of Brussels, with protesters launching fireworks and stones at police. It started out as a peaceful demonstration against stricter COVID rules and ended with officers using tear gas and water cannon. People are mainly opposed to COVID passes that stop the unvaccinated from entering cafes, restaurants and entertainment venues in Belgium. There was a third night of trouble in the Netherlands. Riot police were deployed in the northern city of Groningen after groups vandalised property. There were flashes of unrest in other cities too, while those in Germany who haven't been jabbed may be about to see their freedoms limited. Many nations are watching the tensions rise, concerned the problems may be coming their way.
That's the BBC's Anna Holligan reporting there. Well, the prospect of more severe restrictions across Europe is helping keep a lid on stock market gains across the region today. Checking the numbers now, the pan-European Stock 600 index is up just 0.1%, as regional benchmarks are little changed. The euro, meanwhile, is down slightly against the U.S. dollar, holding close to a 16-month low. That's amid concerns the continent's economic recovery from the pandemic could lag the U.S. Well, while Europe is doubling down on lockdown restrictions, Australia is opening its borders to more travelers. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said fully vaccinated, eligible visa holders will be allowed to enter the country from the 1st of December without the need to apply for a travel exemption. The BBC's Phil Mercer has that story.
Fortress Australia is gradually being dismantled. Border closures were a key part of its coronavirus strategy. But with about 85% of the population fully vaccinated, the country is reopening to the world. Around 200,000 visa holders, including skilled workers, students and backpackers, will be allowed to return from next week if they're double jabbed. It should ease a chronic labour shortage, especially in Australia's hospitality sector. The government has said that increased migration would boost the economic recovery from the pandemic.
That's the BBC's Phil Mercer reporting from Sydney there. To Venezuela now, where President Nicolas Maduro's ruling Socialist Party has officially today won a sweeping victory in regional elections. Voter turnout was 41% over the weekend and the first time in nearly 4 years the opposition party has taken part. Previously, it boycotted, saying there was no chance of a fair vote. While the president has been celebrating his victory, the BBC's Katie Watson explains there are still huge economic challenges the country still needs to overcome.
An ode to Venezuela and an overture to the world. President Nicolas Maduro pulled out all the stops to look good in these elections. Over the weekend, winning a Guinness World Record for the largest orchestra. This in a country better known for its record inflation. This was a clear demonstration of soft power. A message to the world that the Venezuelan government was feeling confident. But few musicians here share that confidence. Daniel Pineda worked for the renowned El Sistema National Orchestra School as a pianist, but as with so many government jobs, he never got paid.
It's been 4 years and I can't afford a piano. There are other priorities like eating, day-to-day living here in Venezuela.
In these elections, Mr. Maduro kept up his self-assured poise. On Sunday, once again praising Venezuela's electoral system as the best in the world. Plenty of people disagreed with that as they waited to cast their vote. Mr. Maduro, though, appears keen to shake his status as international pariah. It's why he invited the EU to observe the vote, and they provided reassurance. At one polling station we visited, two observers quietly watched as voters grew frustrated with waiting in line. A short drive away at Lake Maracaibo, we meet fisherman Yanis. The horizon is dotted with oil rigs no longer working. Over the years, oil production has been reduced to a trickle, some of which is seeping out of the aging pipes and destroying the beauty that's left. It's hard to believe this was once the beating heart of the country's oil riches. Now it's a playground for its poor. Children are clambering all over the infrastructure. Others are playing baseball in front of it.
Del bloqueo, de la persecución financiera.
Nicolás Maduro blames US sanctions for the country's collapse. There's no doubt they've exacerbated the crisis, but Yanis says the government has to take responsibility.
Before they expropriated this, you could see boats working. There weren't as many oil spills. All this was beautiful. Now it's just a cemetery.
Just before sunset, some fishermen head out to see what they can catch. Their livelihoods have been devastated by the crumbling of the country, and people here want change.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson reporting from Venezuela's oil capital, Maracaibo, there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.